3, 2, 1, it's Shazam!
The podcast that hopes to make itself obsolete.
I'm Kayla.
And I'm Carissa, and
you got questions.
We
might be able to answer them.
We got some answers, you guys.
Or yeah. Not.
Well.
Music.
Okay. Yeah, so every intro is just more awkward. We're in the same room. I can look at you. Why did I step on your lines? I could tell you were about to say something.
I don't know.
You know what? A mailbag episode goes two ways. They're going to ask us some questions. So I'm going to ask the listeners a question. My question is, how many people can't tell us apart voice-wise? Because I think there's a lot of people.
Yeah, why is that a thing?
I don't know.
Well, right now, your voice has never been deeper.
I know. It's been a while since... You know, I find that if I haven't done Lucy for a while, then my voice just... I have like a day where I'm like, I haven't used my lower register in a while.
I got to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of where I live.
In your lower register?
Yeah, I could be a tenor.
Yeah, I have a higher voice than you. I don't... I just did it right there. But
right.
I don't understand why people can't hear. Tell us apart. Hey, so, hey, Kayla.
Hi, this is Kayla.
how are you? What have you been up to?
Hello, Carissa, who is not the voice currently speaking.
Yeah.
I'm well.
Are you?
I'm drinking coffee out of a mug that says Dog Mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels really right.
Mm-hmm.
How are you, Carissa?
I'm good.
That's your voice.
That's my voice. This is what my voice sounds like. This is a bit five people are enjoying. Just so we
are know. We two of them?
We are two of them.
And the other three are not even the people that asked us.
Yeah. Nope.
About so, differentiating our voices.
Yeah, I'm also good. I way prefer doing this when we're in the same room. It's just so much more fun. I don't know if it changes the actual podcast too much. I don't think once Jeff like goes through and edits it, it makes much of a difference, but I like it more.
Yes.
Good talk.
Good talk.
Okay, so today...
We've got ants, you guys, and so that's where I'm at, is like I'm looking around the floor. There's a bunch right there.
I killed all those ants.
Those are dead?
Those are dead.
There's one thing moving.
Oh, is there? Okay, I'm going to get up and spray it with the alcohol.
Oh, brilliant. So basically, as you know, if you've listened to any podcast of ours before, is that we just recently moved. By we, I mean also Carissa, because she now lives here too. In a sense, Carissa's... That is the nicest spray bottle. Basically, we, as you do whenever you move into a new place, just there are always some trials and tribulations of figuring everything out and the quirks and everything. And one thing is that we have an ant issue. Send us in your go-to ant infestation remedies. We do luckily have like a fairly decent property management company, so I'm not upset. Right now, it's just been an everyday occurrence so far.
Yeah.
And I'm not enjoying it, but it happens. It's getting warmer because it's January in Los Angeles.
Oh, it's so nice. I'm so happy I decided to spend some of the winter in a place that doesn't try to kill me with its weather.
I'm in 48 hours going to Minnesota.
Uh-huh. Have fun.
That's going to be a fun time.
It's going to be super fun.
It's going to be great.
So you're about to go back on tour with Champions?
Just for a quick weekend run. In Minneapolis, Minnesota. By the time this comes out, we will have already done it.
Oh. You know what? We should do a better job of letting people know where they can see us. Because I get messages sometimes of, you know, where they can see
us. Well,
let
me properly answer this as if you were... As if I knew what was happening when this came out. hey, we just went to Minneapolis. It was great and cold. Thanks.
Perfect.
That felt about the same amount of information I would know after we did the weekend.
I'm about to go do the Peacock Theater again.
Ooh.
Saturday.
Fun. And
it's all women, all queerish cast.
Nice.
I don't think it's all queer ladies, but they made an effort to include some queer ladies, hence my presence, which is lovely.
Yay.
And it's so nice to be back so soon because I'm like, oh, I've been accepted. And then I'm doing some casino shows in Canada.
Fun.
Yeah. I haven't done a lot of casino shows, so I'm excited to sort of see how Lucy plays to a room full of 45-plussers.
I think it's going to go really well.
I hope so. Yes, yeah. It'll be great. Also, I just remember that one of the shows I'm not doing Lucy. potentially for the casino shows, so that I can amp up for the Oakland Magic
Kingdom. You can have a lot of fun there.
Yeah.
They're great.
Are they?
Yeah, I don't mind certain styles of casino shows. I think they're quite enjoyable. Other times, of course, not, but that's your kind of your crapshoot with any audience, right?
That's
but,
true.
Yeah, I think you'll have a good time. I think Lucy will play as well as you will play. It'll be fun.
I'm going to have some fun. I'm going to use the casino shows because I know that like my opening and my closing are really solid. I'm going to use the middle to just have a good time and try out some stuff and some bits great. That I've been sitting on for a while.
Nice.
And I'm going to do my mixed and unmixed old-fashioned routine at the Peacock, I've decided, because I've been carrying it around with me for about 3 months because I haven't been doing it recently. And I really like that routine, so I'm going to work on it. So this anyway, I'm just very excited about upcoming shows. And you're going to Minneapolis where it's cold, so you're thrilled.
I've been to Minneapolis already by the time this comes out.
You already – remember when you went?
It was great.
Remember in the future when you were there?
I felt really good about it.
The magic of podcasts, you guys. Time
Time travel is so real.
So this is a mailbag episode, and we have not answered any questions.
Have you seen the last episode of the season of Doctor Who?
I have not. I'm a binge watcher, so I don't like. I haven't watched almost any of Game of Thrones.
What have we been doing this entire weekend?
We've been working.
Can we quit and watch Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Okay, I've seen all of them, so I'm really interested in rewatching all of them.
Didn't you say though earlier today? Remember, I was like, we have all this time, and you went, we have one more day, so we might not.
Well, I meant we have one more day, but that doesn't mean we can't watch Doctor Who.
We should definitely
watch. You did watch the first episode of season 2 of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
I did. It was so good. I definitely need to binge watch the rest of that season. When it was over and you were like, all right, that's all we're doing. I'm like, this is not our whole night now. We're not watching this whole thing.
It is. If you haven't watched the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel at all, it's really, I mean, if you're interested in Shazam, you would be interested in this show because it's so, like, very empowering. But yeah. The entire second season is way better than the first, in my opinion. It just gets a little bit more real, but the writing in the first episode already has ramped up and gives you a lot of emotional feelings that you didn't know you had.
I was making so many out loud noises.
That was fun.
I could not, like, what is happening?
Also translating in French. That was cool because I didn't know what was going on in the scene. And you were like, oh, she's saying, get out. And it was great. It was helpful.
Because they don't put subtitles under all of the French stuff. And I was like, do you want me to translate?
Which was an interesting choice because they only put subtitles under when a certain character is speaking and having a conversation with someone and not under anybody else's.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really curious.
Yeah. Well, I think it's easy to get distracted. I find that's a good choice.
Yes.
Because I think it's easy to get distracted by subtitles and like you mentally prioritize them over even like hearing an English speaker.
Yeah, right.
So I think that was probably a good choice.
Yeah.
But also it's pretty funny what the lady is screaming at the.
Oh, yes. Gym. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's, I'm going to call the police and they're going to kill you. Yeah. Like that was my favorite one.
I don't care if they kill you.
I don't care. Yeah.
What a great show.
So you guys sent in some questions through our social media accounts. Shazam Pod on all the things. We're Shazam Pod on everything, right?
I think so. I hope so. I tried.
Me.
We are.
Too. Okay, great. good job. And we're going to go through and answer some of your questions. Kayla, where shall we start?
The beginning.
The literal beginning? Conrad?
The literal beginning of where we went, should we do a podcast? So the answer is no. The answer is yes, you guys. I realize that we've made a bunch of jokes recently about hating and quitting this podcast. We're not.
We're not.
We're just tired.
It's because we're doing data entry.
It's the data entry. It's the numbers. It's the computer screen.
Before we got into the data entry, which I'm sorry, Kayla, about that idea. I apologize. This was really fun, and it's still really fun, but now there's data entry. I have mixed feelings about the data entry.
I don't. I have very strong feelings about the data entry, and it's that I dislike it. But it's going really well, though.
It's so much data.
As you and I have gone, it's going really well, and we're very excited to share it.
Did I tell you what I realized at the castle yesterday?
What?
You know what we have to add to our data pool?
Oh, no.
All of Everfism. Yeah. You can't see it, but Kayla's face turned from a smile to basically it's the face you have if you find out your beloved childhood pet has passed away. She's now leaning back on the couch. It looks like the tears are going to come. You know, the funny thing about categorizing every FISM ever in for this is that we are going to probably put in about 2,000 data points. And out of that, I predict there will be a handful of women. This is the part of the data collection that's so frustrating, is that we really do have to put down everything about every single person. But so many of them are like, I spent 20 minutes a day entering data and in order to get zero results. You okay?
I'm hot.
She's back. She's come back.
I'm hot.
She's taking the sweater off.
I actually started sweating in that moment.
Like, I was in the library at the castle and I saw the like FISM collection book and I went, oh no.
Oh, that's a thing I'm going to have to do, isn't it? Because I live here. I'm willing to take that on, to be honest, because it's for the greater good of this project, you guys.
Yeah.
Also help.
Does anybody want to help with this really important work we're doing? How long have we been talking? We have not started answering questions.
That's fine. We're supposed to be whimsical and fun and
so whimsical. Okay. All right. From this point forward, we're going to have a good time. We're going back to being a comedy podcast about a feminist magic podcast. Okay. Ready?
3, 2, 1.
Fun. 3, 2, 1. Fun. That's another T-shirt.
So you guys asked questions. Thanks for asking questions, everyone who did. We're going to do our best to answer some of them. Some of them we might read and go, others we don't feel qualified to answer. We'll let you know when those are. And others we're going to go on a rant.
Fun!
Shall we begin?
We shall begin.
All right. Conrad asked a lot of questions. Yes. So should we start? You want to start from the bottom and go backwards just because I feel like mixing it up.
Let's do it.
So question number one from Conrad. Will Kayla finally get her sound effects in 2019? I don't know. Will she? Cough button.
Bow, bow, bow.
Wop, 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 wop.
Squeaky, squeaky.
Nailed it.
All right.
I think that answered that question.
Next. What are you most excited about personally for 2019? So I will answer this question. I don't have a personal life. I only have my show and this podcast. So I'm most excited in 2019 for taking some time around gigs, on either end of gigs, to be a human person. Last year I basically there was a lot of months where I went from one show to another show to another show with no days off. And this year I'm trying to take like a week off between runs of stuff. So I'm excited about having a personal life in 2019. How about you, Kayla?
Naps. Question 3. What are you most excited about for the podcast in 2019?
Oh, so many answers.
Being as close to done with possible with data entry.
Yeah, I really, I'm so excited. Not, for me, it's not just about being done. It's also, I'm excited to see this pile of data and go and really have numbers and be able to hand it off to the statistician that's helping us and turn it into like graphs and pie charts. And dude, I love graphs and pie charts. I'm so excited about the face of this that's going to have graphs and pie charts. And I also love that it's going to be a level of accountability because we're going to be publishing it in the Linking Ring. And so there's going to be some accountability. Everyone's going to have to look at those numbers every month. And I'm quite excited. And swag.
Do you want to touch upon that?
Well, let's do that. That's what I'm excited about for 2019. I'm excited to go to magic conventions and see people wearing our swag and sign some shirts and see people wearing all of the pretty things we made.
If you have not yet headed over to the new Shazam store, there will be a link in these show notes and there's going to be a link everywhere that is Shazam. We are so excited to start creating this level of community because some of the t-shirts per genuinely Carissa and Jeff is amazing and has done so much work on the Shazam store. Mm-hmm. But also Carissa, I basically all I did was go, I like this word better. And that was really it. So this is mainly a Carissa and Jeff thing. And it looks so good. The swag is great. And at the end of us recording this podcast, we are self-rewarding. We're going to go shopping on our own store.
Yeah, we're going to buy some stuff.
We're very excited. Yeah, so if you haven't checked that out, go check it out. You know, buy things because it's cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for your assistance.
I also really am excited that we went with we decided to go through Tee Public because mm-hmm. they have the ultra soft fabric.
Oh, yeah.
And we pre-ordered some items before we settled on who we were going to go with because this is, in our opinion, is really good prices and mm-hmm. super nice stuff.
Yeah, they do a really good job. Really solid good customer job. Service and very little work to you and I.
Yeah, it's all the best things.
Right. Mm-hmm. We'll be over here doing data entry and our swag.
Go buy our shirts.
But please buy the shirts. What would it take for you two to do another live podcast at a convention? Not someone needs to just pay me to be at a convention and we'll do it.
Yeah. We accurate. Just both need to be booked for a convention again at the same time. The thing is that with magic, we still have a lot of tokenism. And so often there's still only one or two slots for women to be at a convention.
Two is an exaggeration.
I genuinely was told, I won't say for what convention this summer, but I was up to get booked at a convention and then they went, oh, sorry, we booked a different woman. The woman slot got filled. And without irony or anything, they were like, mm-hmm. we gave it to this other lady. And I was just like, oh, you guys.
You can have more than one of us.
Can have more than one lady.
We work together.
We lecture on different things. It's like, you know, it's not even like, oh, we have two character women. It's like, no, she does something entirely different than what I do. But when we filled our diversity slot. So
yep.
So we're excited. We'd have to get both booked at a convention and then this would be like a bonus thing that we would do. Unless somebody wants to pay us to just do a live.
I'll show up.
I mean, me too.
Yeah. You're hearing it. So
we'll do it.
This is to whomever would like to have us.
To whom?
To whom?
And next question. What advice would you give someone who is just starting to explore the world of magic?
Ooh. Just be involved as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Like read books, go to magic shows.
Mm-hmm.
Just try to show up, because the more you show up, the more people you meet, and then you find your people.
Yeah.
And then you find who you are.
Yeah.
As well as also leave magic and find other types of art and art, performing arts, visual arts that you like too.
I think this might be a good opportunity for you to drop the truth bomb you mentioned in the car today that I was like, that is the most profound thing you.
What did I say?
I wrote it down.
Oh, about the not fitting in?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. We were having this discussion with my friend Christina the other day. I've talked about her before. She gives great hugs if you like hugs. Also, if you don't like hugs, I will absorb into a Christina hug any day. I don't know if she knows that we talk about her as much as we do, but we do.
One day she's going to listen to the podcast and go, oh, wow, I'm a third character on this podcast.
She kind of is. You know what? We should have her on one day and she can just calm everybody down because she's the most calming.
Yeah, we'd be presence. Like, oh, and she'd go, you guys.
You guys.
You know, the world is, I looked at a sunset today. This is my Christina.
She texted me a picture of the moon last night. She's like, I realize you're in the middle of a lot of podcasts, but I just wanted to know if you saw the moon. Here's a picture if you didn't.
Yeah, Christina's voice so is like, she talks like she's trying not to wake the baby all the time. And I love,
hi,
how are you? Like there's always a baby sleeping in 10 feet of her. That's yep. how she talks. And I love it.
She also the other day came over and we had a really intense spa day.
Yeah.
Which to Carissa and I, we went to Walgreens and we bought a peel off face mask for $5. And yep. then those Biore nose strips that clear out your pores also yep. roughly $7. And so we were like, yes, spa day complete. And yes. then Christina came with a tote bag of yeah. free samples of face masks, face wash, this the steamer.
The steamer. Thing. We did the steamer thing.
Found out you're not supposed to open your eyes.
Yeah, that
I
hurts.
Found that out, though, before and also after because I didn't pay attention.
Yeah. There was one thing called facial concentrate that I can never get over. I'm like, how do you concentrate? Do I want more face?
Right.
What is this for?
But also your head. That sounds like a weird, you had the cut on your head.
I did.
And it's basically gone now, yeah. But it was almost half its intensity at the end of spa day to the beginning of spa day.
I was trying to see if I could still do this trick I used to do where I was bouncing a knife on my face, but I was using a kitchen knife and I sliced my face open. And yeah, it went Wolverine style with this 10-phase face concentrate.
Christina is a professional body worker, so she gives massages and like all this stuff I don't understand, and she just came with like scents in bottles and was like, you put this behind your ears and it does it. And I was like, I don't get any of it. Whatever it was, I enjoyed the evening very much.
I went through a couple of phases. There was one moment when I'm like, wow, being a woman is a lot of work. And I'm resentful. But then we got into it and I was like, this is really actually super fun. And
it was very relaxing.
It was very relaxing and very sweet. But I think when I saw everything all lined up, like the 12 phases,
we should post that picture.
Sheesh. Yeah, well, we'll definitely
post that picture. We'll post that picture on the Instagram.
Of all of the garbage we put on our face. It was really lovely. Intense. So this is all...
What were we talking about?
We were talking about that really profound thing you said about finding your people.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about with Christina that how the three of us as kids and also maybe adults like never really felt like we fit in.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something that I had a little bit of a different opinion on, which was it's not about not fitting in. It's about figuring out what groups it is you don't fit into.
Yeah.
And why. Because it doesn't really matter that you don't fit in. It's like, well, why are you feeling like you're not supposed to fit into that group?
Yeah.
And who's telling you you don't fit in? Is it yourself? Is it the group? Is it everybody around the group that's looking from the inside out? And none of it really matters because there's a group you do fit into.
Yeah.
And I just thought that
was great. It's like, it's not a general, I love that because it's like, it's not about not fitting in. It's about what are you not fitting into? Like, where are you trying to go?
Yeah.
Where are you supposed to be?
The magic community has groups that you will fit into and not fit into. And it's not about fitting. It's just about finding the people that best spark your creativity and joy.
Well, and for the longest time in magic, I thought it was like, oh, the cardistry guys hang out with the cardistry guys and the coin guys call it fuck. And that's sort of true, but it's mostly now that I'm more in it, I'm like, oh no, it's personalities. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, the amount of times I'm talking to someone and go, oh, I've never outside of magic known anyone else whose brain works this way.
Yeah.
But you see those kind of pop up over and again. My advice for someone just getting into magic is to recognize ahead of time that you're not going to understand anything for a long time. There's a secret language. Everything's sort of code. There's a lot to know. And so you are not going to know what anybody's saying. The most important thing is to feel comfortable asking, hey, what is that? What's this? I'm so proud of London, my 10-year-old protege, because she does such a good job of asking when she doesn't know or understand something. And it means that she's figuring stuff out so much quicker than I could have ever, because for me, I was so embarrassed to go, what, huh? What? So yeah, she's in a good position.
This is probably a project to discuss at another time, but while you're talking, I was like, yeah, there's no Rosetta Stone for magic. And then went, oh, we're going to make that, aren't we? So we're going to make the Rosetta Stone for magic,
Kayla,
one day. I'm sorry. I had an idea. I said it. Now it's documented. We have full rights to this project and can sell it to somebody who wants it. I'm going to drink my Gatorade and be happy.
Kayla, you were so mad at me for this data entry project.
I'm sorry.
And now you've made another data. You know, this podcast
I went to art school.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Guys, I said that because Chris always says that, but you don't know what voice just said it, so...
It could be anybody.
Ah.
It could be anybody. this episode will get posted in the future, but as of this right now, we decided on Kayla's t-shirt for the swag was always going to say, "I'm more of a Kayla, don't touch me." And today we were playing with mine, and mine was supposed to be, "I'm more of a Carissa, I apologize in advance." And then today Kayla was like, "Or you could say, I'm more of a Carissa, I went to art school," and then we immediately changed it because I do say that all the time.
You do a lot, yeah.
I'm not just on the podcast, all the time. Mm-hmm. I am constantly trying to justify that money.
I like that it's you're not like, "I'm trying to gain your respect." You're like, "I need to justify my debt."
I am still paying off my student.
Trying. Isn't everybody?
Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so last question
from Conrad. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Conrad, no.
Conrad, you were doing so great. Conrad asked, "How do you find a balance between your work life and your personal life?" So here's why this is not the best question. So the episode that should have come on before this is the Lindsay Benner episode. And you will get to hear three women talk. One woman who has a one-year-old, and at no point is she asked how she has her work-life balance.
You know why? You know why?
Because you don't ask a guy that.
Yeah. At what point did you go, "Hey, you're a new dad. How do you balance your work life and your personal life?" Because obviously that's not a thing you're supposed to do. Clearly, women are only being asked this question because we're not allowed to have both. So the question is, the balance between work life and personal life is, how do you manage having 50% of your time split between both things? No, no, no. Here is how I balance my work life and my personal life. They're the same life. They mold and intertwine and exist together. And I am at all times working and being personal. So I don't need to validate balancing both lives because they are me. And if I'm going to be asked this question, which is like, how do you manage it?
How do you have it all?
How could you even think to have a career and a family? Is that something that you could even fathom? Because I can't fathom it for you. You're a mere woman. You know, and just that question. I realize, Conrad, I'm not yelling at you.
No, you're
I'm
a great
yelling
guy.
With you.
You're doing great.
I don't know you.
You're doing your best.
I'm understanding that one out of the six questions you've asked is offensive. So I'm going to give you that credit, Conrad.
You did good.
But here's...
Doing better than most of the magic community in terms of sheer numbers.
Already. That is actually very accurate. And eventually you'll see that data. I hate this question so much. I have not had to encounter it too much because I don't have a child. And I think the moment you have a child, everything changes. And that is, now you are only allowed to do one or the other. And I loved our conversation with Lindsay because... I did ask her in the lightning round questions how many times she's been asked this. And she was like, "Oh, not well, I'm still doing both." I mean, she was 8 months pregnant and doing a show and owning it. And never did it come up like, "Oh, I'm so excited to take a break from performing and have a baby." You're like, that doesn't exist. We are who we are. And if you're going to ask us that question, then... Also, men should be getting it, but maybe nobody should get it because who cares?
Well, but it's also like, it's not, yeah, the question is not necessarily the problem. The fact that it's a gendered question is the problem.
Correct.
And if you do, or if you are interested in the answer, I have the same answer as Kayla, is that my personal life is my work life. I only care about magic and performing, and it means the world to me, and all my friends are in this industry, and that's it.
I have many hobbies. I have a partner and a dog and like pay a lot of money into a home that I live in. So Chris and I lead very different lives where, you know, I can argue like, "Oh, this is my personal life. This is my home life." But it's not about finding a balance because that means that they can't be equal.
Yeah.
That means that the balance has to be, well, my personal thing goes over here and my work goes over here. And I have to figure out how to make everybody happy. But I don't. I don't have to figure that out. They just exist together. And to be asked that question is quite condescending. Because clearly, as a woman, you can only have one of those things.
So here's what I would say. maybe
don't ask
women, but do ask men for a little while just to balance it out, just to see, and just see how guys answer that question. I'd be very curious to see how men answer that question because they've never been asked that, so don't have to think about it. Next person. Thank you, Conrad. You did great.
Conrad, I'm sorry.
We were not. Nah. We love you. You're a fantastic listener. We were not crepping on you, but it was.
I just hate this question. This is
what we call a learning opportunity, is to go, hey, maybe think about that question. Okay. Katrina asked on Facebook. Katrina, a good friend of ours, good friend of the pod, asked, how do you find the time to set aside following through with practicing magic and also learning new tricks and also doing shows? So her question goes on. You can read it on Facebook. Basically, the gist of it is that Katrina finds it hard to work in her business and also work on her show. You know, and that's a common thing you see with a lot of entrepreneurs, is that working on your business and working in your business are different. Working your show and working on your show are different. And so there is some people find it challenging to do both. Kayla and I sort of discussed this a little bit before the pod started recording. And one of the things we thought about was that early on in your career, that balance is harder because you have less existing material to lean back on, and getting work is harder. So everything is harder at the beginning. So the stress you're feeling is very normal for newer performers for the first many years. But it does get better because eventually you'll have a body of work that you can draw from, and gigs will come in a lot more easily because you'll have a repertoire and a reputation and hopefully a mailing list of people who love and respect your work. So if it helps to know, this is very normal.
Yeah, just a I agree with everything you just said. A specific thing is I spend a lot of time on planes or trains or buses and took severe advantage of using that time trapped in some sort of moving tube in order to learn something new or like work on an element of business, whether that be drafting emails so that I could create an email plug and play. So when I knew somebody was going to ask for a gig, that I could then respond. It was just with the plug and play, enter in the information and hit send. So it was so much less time I had to spend writing what was seemingly a very personal email. So I just specifically took a lot of advantage of time it traveling. One thing as well is like if you're driving to gigs, it might even be worth looking at taking a Lyft or an Uber depending on that price, obviously, because those can get pricey. Being able to do some work in the back of the car. I'm a terrible reader, but I try to come back to this goal, which is to read something before bed. And so one thing that once I get fully moved into my house, usually my daily schedule in a sense will be I wake up, have coffee and breakfast while listening to the news on my Alexa. What a joy she is. And then one thing you can do, I do not work this way, as I think we've discussed before, but when I was in college, I found this to be incredibly useful and totally agree with, like, sometimes I do this out for my days that are much busier. If I have a lot of really specific things that need to get done with a deadline, I'll go into my calendar, my iCal or whatever, Google Calendar or whatever, and section off the times. So I'll say, like, okay, my alarm is going to go off, let's say at 9 a.m. That's unrealistic. 10 a.m. and then from 10 to 11, I'm going to spend that time walking my dog, feeding him, eating my breakfast, et cetera, et cetera. You could even section that off into specific like 15, 30 minute slots. And then go from, all right, from 11 to 12, I'm going to spend an hour doing emails from whatever that means. But for the entire hour, you need to be in your email app. From noon to 1, I'm going to learn a new trick. Whatever it is, like you come up with the goals that you want to accomplish to then section out in your calendar every single day. Like do it for a week and see if that increases your productivity. For me, it did not because I went insane. Because I don't like being told what to do, even if it's from myself. So I did not do well with that. I'm much better at going, yeah, I need to get this thing done. Oh, yeah, great, let's do it. Or I need to get this thing done, but right now I can't wrap my head around it. I can't force myself to do a task or else it will be done very poorly.
Yeah.
That's just me personally, but I really enjoyed working that way in college because it did help organize my life a bit.
Yeah, I think really activating that downtime is a really good point too, with like taking an Uber, or there's lots of opportunities to activate time to get more time out of your day.
The new iPhone update, if you have an iPhone, is now showing you screen time. Now, a lot of my screen time is spent doing work. It's not a lot of scrolling. Some of my day is scrolling, but the first time it showed up how much time my phone is actually activated was pretty shocking. And so sometimes it just takes a minute to go, oh my God, what did I do in my day? Because all of a sudden yesterday, I was not feeling well yesterday, and might have gotten another bout of food poisoning, but who knows? I spent the entire day, I watched all of the season of Grace and Frankie. Guys, great show. But
so jealous.
That is a time when if I looked at my day, I'd go, I did nothing today. I watched 16 episodes of a television show. That's 8 hours. That's a work day.
Yeah.
That I could have been doing something else. So it's one of those things that if you start to actually look at how your time is being spent, you'll be pretty shocked about the amount of time you spend on social media, watching TV, listening to music, et cetera, et cetera. It is pretty shocking.
There's also a really good book called The Practicing Mind that talks about deliberate practice.
I thought you were going to say, it's a really good book called The Netflix Special Marie Kondo.
She also has a book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. I'm so in love with Marie Kondo. You know, so now I'm on my fourth. I watch it as I fall asleep every night. God. It used to be Frasier. Now it's Marie Kondo. I just watch her clean people's houses. Why do I love it so much? I don't know. Anyway, no, there's a book called The Practicing Mind that talks about deliberate practice. There's lots of fantastic books about deliberate practice. And so if your concern is that you don't have a lot of time to build the skills you want to build, activating the time you are using to learn more efficiently is a really easy way to fix some of that. Because there, for example, If you practice with real focus and also at the limit of your ability, if you're always kind of pushing yourself rather than doing what you're comfortable doing and not just maintaining, you'll learn a lot more quickly and that time will be better used. So thinking in terms of when you're practicing, I think in magic a lot of people go, oh, I need to get the basics. I disagree with needing to have the basics. I don't have a ton of stuff in my repertoire that I didn't learn deliberately for a purpose. I'm like that with pretty much everything. Like I can code a website, but I don't know more code than I need. I can cook, but I don't know more about cooking than I need for the meals I want to make. I like knowing just enough. I have other stuff to do. So with magic, a lot of people will go, oh, well, you need to know this many sleights, or I need to go through Bobo and learn every single coin trick. I disagree. I think start with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind. What are you practicing to get to? What is the goal? Not only will that help you practice more deliberately, but it'll also help you trim the fat. If you have all the time in the world and you're in love with magic and you just want to know every coin trick in Bobo because that's fun for you, that's a totally different conversation. Do that. Good for you. That's cool. Talk to me about it. What's that adventure like? Cool. You know, I love AJ Jacobs, who read the whole encyclopedia. I think that kind of stuff is fantastic if that's going to be your hobby. But this particular question is, hey, I'm losing my mind. I don't have enough time to practice and write new shows and do shows. Deliberate practice and specific practice, considered work, like starting from intentional work makes a big difference, not just working to keep yourself busy. I found that when I started working more intentionally, because I got a full-time assistant, that was a few years ago, and I realized that, okay, now I'm paying for every hour of somebody else's time. A lot of the fat got trimmed because I suddenly was like, oh, wow, I spent $50 folding my laundry or whatever. And then you kind of go, maybe I have too many clothes. Start thinking about yourself that way. Start thinking about, like, how much money would this have cost for you to do this if you were paying someone to do it? Is that worth it? Because time is money.
Well done.
Cool. We solved it. We solved Katrina.
We solved Katrina.
Do you want to ask the next one?
Yeah. Mike Grabowski.
That's a great last name. Grabowski. That sounds like a joke.
What is the name of the one-eyed monster in Monsters, Inc.?
Lebowski? No, that's the Big Lebowski.
Is it? What is his name?
No, Big Lebowski is a different... I'm thinking about it because it was my dad's birthday recently. Happy birthday, Dad.
Yay, Christmas, Dad. It's his birthday. Wazowski.
Wazowski.
Okay. I almost was like, I don't know who you are, Mike Grabowski, but I love you because you have the same name as But you don't. So I like you a little.
Tangent game. We're playing the tangent game.
Keep all of it in. Okay, that should be a t-shirt. Okay, anyway. question. Why does it seem so many magicians are resistant to the idea of having a director or involving typical stagecraft? Lighting designers, audio designers, set designers, stage managers, etc. Many of the successful acts do, but I see quite a few that neglect interacting with these folks. I think there are a lot of... there are a lot of possibilities to answer this question. I think one is that it just doesn't seem for most of the markets people are working in, like going into someone's living room or a hotel ballroom or any of that. Like, you can't be working with a lighting designer, stage manager, like all these people all the time. It's too much money. It's not practical to have them on your staff, all of that. In terms of a director, I think magicians are shocked to understand that they should have a director because they've never done theater.
Yeah.
I think that most of the magicians I've spoken to that are like, why would I ever hire a director, are just magicians who have never been in a play, been really on a stage outside of magic, any of that. And so having somebody direct a magic show just seems kind of just incomprehensible. It's just not a thing magicians think of.
Yeah, it's different because when you get into theater, there's a procedure. When you get into magic, it's so much about learning the move and making it fooling. And that's a totally different motivation. Theatrical motivations and fooling motivations are processed differently. They're set up differently. They're arranged differently. I remember the first time, I don't have a huge theater background. I've not done that much.
Yeah.
But I'm obsessed with like weekend courses and theatrical intensives. And I've done a lot of that kind of stuff. And I also hung out with a lot of theater people. And so I was used to that vocabulary, that language. And I remember the first time I went to a magic convention and somebody was working on a thing for the evening gala. And I said, do you want me to help you do like a line reading? And they went, why?
Yeah.
But as in mad at me. Mm-hmm. And it came from, and I was just like, okay, I need to reevaluate. So I get where this question is coming from. It's like, sometimes it's not just that they're resistant. Some magicians are resistant, is that they're actively like, no. Because magic is hard. Magic's really hard. It takes a long time to learn something. You become very protective of your baby. And you don't necessarily want somebody coming in and tampering with it. And in order to have a director come in and take a look at your show, you have to be ready to have somebody look at you and go, this is garbage. Because there's always the chance someone's going to come in and go, none of this is good.
Right.
Start over.
I think there's also this element of magic is really easy to be inherently good. I say that. Hear me out.
All right.
Hear me out for a second.
I'm hearing you out.
Magic is easy to be inherently good as long as you don't flash how it's done.
Ah,
an yes. Audience is immediately going to be interested in what you're doing when you're doing a magic trick and it fools them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, is it going to be memorable? No. Are they going to care about it? No. Is it going to be the most hard-hitting experience they've ever had? No. But if they've never seen magic before, it automatically is starting in a place of success as long as you don't show them how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's confusing and hard and whatever, the audience is going to react to it because it's impossible. You know, if it's scotch and soda, it's impossible. Like, and you're just doing it the pattern from the instructions. It's impossible to them. It's about making magic. And that, from the audience perspective, it's just good. I just saw a magic trick and I don't know how it happened. To make magic actually good is a different story. But it's easy to be lazy when you're getting the audience's reaction from magic just inherently being fooling. It's when you... and I think most magicians are just very content in saying, you know, other magicians applaud me because I do these really complicated sleights and moves, or I make a magic joke, or whatever, you know, like a joke that they get, an inside joke to the magic community or whatever it is. And magicians think I'm really great. It's easy to go, I'm really great, and never actually examine if you're good or not, and if you're memorable or working, or if the audience is actually taking anything away mm-hmm. from the show. Because magic is just a given gift to go. As long as you don't screw it up, the audience is going to go in that moment. They're going to clap for you.
Yeah.
So why hire a director when the audience is willing to clap for you at its most basic level?
Also, I think that there's some element of often some theatrical companies, some forms of theater are a little elitist and don't really see mimes, jugglers, you know, kids performers, and specifically magicians as real theater. And some of that's our responsibility because we have not done a good job of making it real theater. And so often there's it's a very hard to bridge that gap and go, hey, I'm a magician. Even if you are interested in like learning some of that stagecraft, it does feel a little bit frustrating. I have a friend who recently, who's a magician, who's very talented, who wanted to do some acting classes and went to a beginner acting class and was simultaneously overwhelmed by how much of the beginner stuff wasn't helpful, because basically he probably should have gone in at like a second year level because he's not a good actor, but he's better than a lot of the first, like, people taking it for the first time, but also how condescended he felt by the some of the staff, some of the instructors, because they're like, oh, you're a magician?
You use props?
Prop
magic. Well, how droll.
Yeah. So, you know, I think there's a lot of stuff going on, but no matter how hard it is, it doesn't matter because it's worthwhile.
I think if you are interested in doing magic, and this also ties into the question from before, is that if you want to do magic, magic is a tool in order to produce something bigger, like potentially some art. But magic itself is just a tool and it's a mechanism at its basic level. And then from there, you have to learn how to do theater and have a director. And Chris is telling me to get closer to the microphone, and I thought you were literally doing a neck dance in that moment. And I was like, what are you doing? What was I talking about? Magic is itself, it's just the thing that then you have to build around. And so if you want to do magic, I think you have to take an acting class, or more than that, you have to study theater. If you don't know what stage left and stage right are,
oh yeah, that's...
then you're in trouble. You need to know basic theater things. You need to take an improv class. If you're speaking at all, you should know how to improvise.
Yeah.
Just the basic idea of yes and. Try stand-up comedy. Like, there's so much that you have to do in order to actually be a good magician. And one of those things is get a director. I then think there is sort of it's an outlier that exists, but I've definitely heard magicians say, I don't need a director, I'm good. And then there becomes, now we're talking about a thing. And so if you've ever actually uttered that sentence, give me a call. We'll talk.
And also, we can recommend some fantastic theatrical magic directors. I have four or five in mind that are great. In case you don't know, stage left is left from the performer's perspective. Stage right is right from the performer's perspective. I hope that helps.
Yeah, if you're looking out into the audience. That's, you know what? Honestly, if... Just go take a theater class. I can't.
Christine asks, this is for Kayla.
What?
This is for Kayla. How was it like doing a magic trick in Toronto's tourist site? During New Year's Eve.
Thanks, Christine. So I sadly missed this event because I was dead. This was the night of the infamous, the stomach bug took out half of the Champions of Magic cast and crew. So I did not go to the New Year's Eve adventure, but a couple of our performers from the show did a big spectacle performance, basically, in a sense, Toronto's Times Square. And it was, from my understanding, it was hard. It was raining and therefore cold. And Young and Strange did the cardboard box illusion. So that was really fun for them. I think there were some technical difficulties, but in the end, it went really well. Fernando did the Jaws of Death. And it got a really good reaction. It was definitely a learning experience for everybody who participated. I was not one of them. I went back to my room and went to bed. But thanks for asking, Christine.
So how was it? It was not.
Yeah.
It was
not applicable.
N.A. Okay, got it. Henry asks, still having fun doing this? I think he's referring to the podcast. Hey, Kayla. You still having fun doing this?
I'm having fun recording podcasts.
But not data entry.
Correct.
Okay.
Chris, are you still having fun?
I'm having a lot of fun doing the podcast. I really enjoy what's happened. I mean, we're at like the 6 month mark with this podcast, and things have really changed.
Which, in all honesty, we've been doing this for a year.
Yeah.
Right. Come February, March, we will have been doing this for a year. It just wasn't out and about, and yeah, the amount of change that we've enacted and you've enacted with us.
Yeah, you, the audience. Pretty,
yes, that's what I meant. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, you listening.
You lovely listeners.
To the human listening. And
she's Amazon's.
Hi.
I'm going to make that a thing.
I know, you keep trying, and I've never said that word.
I've said it a thousand times. I've said it more than, oh, by the way, you guys, do you know I went to art school? I went to art school. Just thought I'd mention it in case people didn't know. I love doing this podcast.
Buy our t-shirts.
Buy our t-shirts. I love doing this podcast. I really enjoy it. I've enjoyed the way that it's changed my relationship with the magic community. I enjoy the way the magic community has changed in response to the podcast. I enjoy, I'm going to get a little sentimental, the way I feel like Kayla and I are closer, better friends.
You live with me now. That wouldn't have happened if we didn't have this podcast.
Yeah, I live with you out of necessity because it's just easier to record. You're like, you should come live here because you don't take up a lot of space and I don't have to go anywhere.
You don't take up a lot of space. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's just that one. Although,
I'm really impressed.
That corner is starting to build.
Yeah, and then the other day, Chris was like, one, could I leave stuff here? And two, should I be paying rent? That's where we're at.
Yeah. But for the record, I don't actually live here. I still do live in Canada. For reasons, we should definitely say this is mostly a joke, but I'm here. I am in LA a lot.
It is a joke that has slowly become more real.
Yeah, one day it's going to be real, and I'm going to have to change from a P1 to like a, I'm going to have to call the government.
Yeah, according to the government, you live in Canada.
Also, I do. Anyway, all right. Okay, so I'm resistant to this because I don't want people in LA to necessarily like expect I'm going to be here all the time.
No, you are not here. You do not live here.
My things are here.
Your things are here.
Okay. I'm glad we cleared that up for no reason.
What are we talking about?
Ryan asks, thoughts on addressing preferred pronouns in a show? This is a great question. Do you want me to start?
Yeah, you go.
Okay.
We're going to say the same answer.
So I actually, I thought about this a lot because my show, I mess with a guy. I would prefer for it to be a male just because of the, I am making a deliberate artistic statement with it. And later I select a woman and I would prefer for them to be a woman because I'm making a deliberate artistic statement. I have now, because I have a new routine where I bring up four spectators, I have pulled up three, I think transgendered, but I didn't specifically ask. One I know for sure because they're a friend of mine, or a friend of a friend of mine, and really enjoyed the way that that dynamic changed, and was very happy that that happened when it did, because about 3 months ago, which is right before I started doing the jam routine, I removed all of the pronouns from my script. Now, that doesn't mean I don't use pronouns in my show. Once I know, what's your name? Ben? I try to say Ben a lot. It becomes clear usually at that point with the often with the name what the gender is, and then you can decide if that's something you want to add. But because there are no pronouns built into my script, when the first time I brought up a trans person, I wasn't nervous. I just did the act, and I felt so comfortable, and I didn't have to worry about anything, because it's really important for me when I bring a volunteer up on stage that I'm taking good care of them, and that I'm considering their needs, and that I'm being sensitive to their needs. And I love that I kind of anticipated that well in advance and was able to be like, oh, there's no pronouns in my show. So if I just I don't have to correct my script as I go. If I just do my script, I'm not going to accidentally say something. I can just relax. And every single time it's been amazing. So I'm happy. I did it mostly as a creative exercise. Like, can I do my show without any pronouns and have it still be the same show? Yeah, totally. It didn't make any difference. It took a little bit of work writing wise and a little bit of work re-scripting it. But then it was fine. And I'm happy I did it. So my thoughts on removing pronouns from your show is that it helped me. It put me in a more comfortable position. It was a nice creative exercise. It's not always going to be necessary. If you think that you can change it up on the fly and be respectful, then it's not necessary. But it was great. I'm so happy I did it.
You've also had audience members make it known that they noticed.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, when I was in Chicago, I did have somebody come up to me after the show. The Chicago Magic Lounge is sort of in a queer-friendly area of Chicago, so they often get some gender-fluid audience members or different kinds of queer people. And, Lucy plays to a queer audience because Lucy's a queer character. And it was really nice to have someone come up to me after the show and specifically notice that there were no pronouns. This was a woman, so I can say she. She specifically noticed that there were no pronouns on my show. And the friends that she had with her were gender fluid people who preferred the they, them pronouns. And she had noticed on behalf of them. And it was just cool. It's just, you guys, it's kind of cool. And just, it's a fun creative exercise. You know, there's that improv game where you don't use any of one letter or something. And I'm terrible at it, but I used to love playing that game. But I don't want to play that game in the moment with pronouns.
With another person at
stake. Yeah. I'm supposed to be taking care of my audience members. I'm supposed to be, you know, making them feel good. And sometimes in the dark, when you lean over the front of a stage and you point to someone, you could easily miscall someone and offend them because you can't see. It's really dark. Anybody who's performed in any real theatrical venues know you're blind. You're blind. So removing the pronouns in your show is actually a nice way of just protecting yourself. You know, in the same way that you wouldn't make a joke about a woman being pregnant if you weren't certain she was pregnant, because that's the stumbling block. It's so much easier to go, what's your name? And then that gives you some more information, usually. You can't always go on that. But, you know, it just puts you in a better position.
I have nothing to add.
Great.
Because I also have gender-specific needs for a couple of routines I do. I've tried to do them with people that don't present as those gender-specific needs, and they don't work quite as well. I think they add more questions and answers. The one I'm specifically speaking of is my torn and restored heart routine. I did it once where there were no men in the audience or nobody that presented as a man that I could clearly tell from where I was standing. And so I called up just a person, and it was a woman. She came up, we did the routine, and it was not good. Like, it did not, even though I played it as still fun and exactly how I would, and like still read her and we were comfortable. She was very comfortable. She played along with everything. I knew that she also preferred she, because she was a friend of a friend. So like, I felt very comfortable calling her up and doing this. And it didn't play at all. And I think it was just, there was still the question of like, oh, what type of human is Kayla now? Like, what box do I put this performer in that's standing in front of me?
Is this routine a little queer?
Correct. And if it was, that's fine. But I never answered that question. I never introduced the routine as a bit queer, and I never backtracked it. It just existed.
Yeah.
And so it definitely presented more questions than answers. So I do have gender specific needs in two of the routines I use. One is also a little bit of a competitive routine and can also be seen as catty if I call up a woman. I've tried it. It doesn't work. So I try my best to like pick someone that I think is going to present the way I need them to. Mm-hmm. However, the rest of the routines, yeah, I've totally become more and more conscious of taking out pronouns. I catch myself. I do audio record every show, so occasionally I catch myself saying something, but only if I'm 100% confident, like they have referred to themselves with a pronoun, in a pronoun-like sense. Mm-hmm. You know, if they open that door, then it's okay. But
there's also the element of,
yeah.
Am I interrupting you?
No, I was done.
Oh, okay. There's also the element sir or madam or miss. These are lazy ways to reference your audience member. So once I became really sensitive about pronouns, I also became very sensitive about sir, lady, miss, you.
Also, they often denote age and ownership of a person. So if you say sir, that's pretty across the board in terms of age. Mm-hmm. But madam, miss, misses, like all of that denotes how old you are and if you happen to be with a man. So that doesn't help either. It's not only lazy, but it's lazy on your part, but then actually really mean to the person you might be calling them. Isn't it a thing that like, there was an episode of Frasier the other day where somebody called Roz madam and she was like, or ma'am, and she was like, oh no.
Yeah.
I'm officially old.
I'm a ma'am.
And you're like, what?
The one word in my show right now, which is in the martini routine, not the chop cup, but the sort of any name drink production is what I'm referring to it as. people call it think a drink. I know there's so many names. So there's a moment where I refer to, I rename my male volunteer as Fernando, which I think is hilarious. And then I say that he's a playboy. I say he's now a playboy and a fabulous dancer, tap to be specific. And I have tried to use something else. I've played with it a lot. I'm like, oh, he's a this, you know, and but I don't say he. I say Fernando, a world-renowned playboy and a fabulous dancer. I've taken out the pronouns. But playboy is very specific. Mm. I've had a lot of conversations about that and realized you could refer to a girl. You're like, I'm a little bit of a playboy, and because it's being slowly stripped of its gender. So I've left it in for now, but it was sort of fun to just think about it and be like, okay, what is the point of that word in the script, and is it serving its purpose, and could it be replaced?
I think as well is one thing that a lot of magicians struggle with, and performers in general, but specifically magicians, is being present in the moment. So I was telling you the story the other day about I called somebody up from the audience to do the heart routine. From like the darkness of the light, did not know this person was a man. I'm comfortable not having any pronouns in the routine. It's basically a silent routine, so there aren't pronouns at all, unless I happen to backtrack and say, keep clapping for him, which I have also cut. But this person came up, and as I got a better look at this person, I was not certain of any information about this person whatsoever when it came to gender. It doesn't matter. It didn't throw me. It doesn't throw the audience. Everything's fine. We did the routine. Everything was great. But all you have to do is call somebody their name.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the person's name off the top of my head now, but let's just say it was Billy, because that can go either way. It's Billy. This is not a gender-specific name. Yay, Billy. Keep it going for Billy. Hi, Billy. Just live presently within your performance, because if you do, then it's not going to throw you. You're not going to have to backtrack, think of it. Just remember their name and keep going.
Yeah.
We're done. Like, it's...
It's the stuff that I think that's written into jokes that is the trouble, is that people, you know, if you leave it in the script, and I mean, we're not saying everybody has to take it out of the script. We're just saying, hey, here's some advantages. We've done it and it was great.
You should take it out of your script. I'm gonna come out and say that. You're gonna be an advocate for that? Yeah, I think I would like to advocate for the fact that I think there are a lot of language needs to be taken out of scripts. There, you know, 10 years ago when I was in college, we all worked really, really hard to take the R word out of our scripts. For good reason, you know, to stop saying things like, that's so gay. That was a statement that everybody when I was in high school said. And it's very mean. So, you know, we got rid of that. And we're working on consciously getting rid of saying things like, that's crazy, that's insane, that's, you know, all of that, like taking that language out. I think we just need to be conscious of your audience. Like, your audience contains all types of people. And nobody should have to be put into a box or felt like they don't belong in this experience because you've alienated them with your language. So why not go the safe route as the performer and say, I'm going to try really hard to not offend anybody. Because if I offend one person, let's say they're there by themselves. That person is there alone, no friends, nobody with them. And I've made them sad. That's one person out of my audience that didn't walk away that how I wanted them to.
Yeah.
And then in return, didn't give me the applause that I so much crave. So I think that matters. It matters, like, as a performer, that I don't want my audience to walk away with anything except absolute entertainment and fulfillment.
And part of it too is that, like, you know, Kayla and my work is still edgy in different ways.
Quite.
But we're aware of those ways that are edgy, so we're in charge of it. We're in control of those situations. When it's about, like, gendered pronouns or using things like crazy or things that you're not aware of, you're not in charge of it. It's not necessarily a choice in the show. It's just because it's like a lazy habit of how we speak. But taking that stuff out kind of, for me at least, it makes me more comfortable being edgier with my character, especially when I'm working as Lucy, because Lucy's just so edgy and I'm always really, really trying to be present and pay attention and never cross any lines, but really get close to those lines. And so, you know, I don't want to leave something in that script like, oh, you're crazy, like something that might be offensive when it's not necessarily, doesn't help the script. It's not deliberate. It's not moving my agenda forward of the narrative of my show. It doesn't add anything. So if the pronouns aren't adding anything, take them out. Although the reason I would say I'm not telling everybody to take it out is because there's some times when you've written a joke and it's fine. You like, you look at the structure of the joke and you're like, no, in this situation, I'm referring to my grandmother in this joke, or I'm referring to my boss or whatever. And your character knows who that is. That's a different thing. So I think that there are, you know, there's room. Although, could you replace that with they pronoun, and would that change the script? And that might be fun. Next question. Amazing Bart asks, again, a question for Kayla. Nobody wants to hear from me today. Did Kayla did busking in Vegas? Oh,
sorry. I just wrote this shorthand.
Okay.
So
I was like, is that what he said?
My fault. This is the actual question. When Kayla was in Vegas, did she try busking? And if so, how did it go? Or was that just not something she was interested in? Very quick answer. No, I did not try. I do not enjoy street performing at all. I commend those who can do it and do it well and make that commitment. I did not. I have no other information.
Shout out to Miranda Allen, who's an amazing female street performer. She's an amazing street performer and happens to be a female. Yeah. I apologize. Let me correct that. And also a magician, whether she thinks she is or not. She has a ton of magic in her show. She's currently performing as Minerva in the show that we shouted out on the Facebook page, and doesn't self-identify as a magician. But because we're friends, I'm going to bully her into it.
Yay,
If you have any questions about street performing, if that comes up more and more, that might be a person that we can chit-chat with about it. Next question.
I can kind of field this one if you want. Cole Blaine on our Instagram typed a novel, and it was a really well-articulated novel, especially after I was like, I don't understand your question, and then you gave me a lot of information. It's really great. So we're going to boil down the four posts that you wrote into what we think your question in one sentence is. How do the treatment of women in magic and the treatment of queer magicians correlate? There's also like an addendum, which was basically, is there a community of transgendered magicians? Carissa and I have talked long about what our goals with Shazam are, and our goals don't quite go into this topic yet, for the reason that Carissa and I can't expertly talk about them. Mm-hmm. I do not identify as queer.
I do, but I pass as straight, so I feel like my experience is not – I can't speak with confidence because I don't live my life looking like a queer person, and it's been a while since I've, like, been – with a woman active, like, I was married to a woman, but in a community that knew that, but it's been a while since we've split up, and so basically haven't like walked hand in hand with a woman in a little while, and like a long while, basically most of my career in magic. I don't feel qualified to talk about this. It is something we're interested in. It is a valid question. It is coming up more and more, and at some point we will address it.
It's the same question we've gotten before about race in magic. Mm-hmm. Is that
other diversity?
Yeah, just diversity in general is like the only perspective that Carissa and I can confidently talk from is being the minority of women within the magic community. So we support 100% the discussion and looking into having on some experts eventually with the podcast. Right now, we just have a bunch of other goals that we're focused on that Carissa and I can talk from and know how to explore from our expertise. But this question is really fantastic, and we look forward to talking more on it and having more discussion.
Yeah, we're really grateful and excited that we have an audience that sees what we're doing and goes, okay, how can I think about this more? Like, it shows so much that our listenership is listening actively and really paying attention, because we get these great questions and we don't want to dismiss it. It's just, you know, we're 6 months in. We have a lot of stuff that we want to stay focused on, and I know it sounds like we're never focused, but we had a meeting a couple days ago that was like a 4-hour meeting about Shazam, where we went through some stuff, and it really occurred to me how much this has become like a machine, and you know, it's very important to us that we do things correctly and that we work in a way that is considered and generous and complete and effective, and we just can't effectively speak on those topics just yet. So yes, we will be bringing people on to discuss elements of the queer community and diverse other forms of diversity within magic. And if you know people that you think would be perfect for that, forward them on to us, and we'll start those discussions. But that's down the road a little bit more. we still got some work to do for the ladies.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just where we are. But there could be, you know, certainly a podcast called They Zam. Or
all
anything. All Zam.
Zam.
I mean, there's so many things that could exist out of this discussion that, you know, we are 100% supportive and can be spoken about from people who have that expertise. It's just not us.
Yeah, I go back all the time and think about the first thing we said in the very first episode that had the music in the background, which was, you know, if not us.
I made an error.
We got to repost that without the music.
Never.
We refer to it so much. It would be weird to go back and re-edit it now because it's a running joke.
It's a staple in our history.
I think we need to have one t-shirt that says, I liked the music, and then no one will buy it.
That I did that so much.
I'm going to change pockets. Anyway, so
I thought I was going to change. I was like, revolution.
I'm a genius. I love that we started with the idea of if not us, who? If not now, when?
Yep.
You know, I get a little like emotional thinking about that because I did not know what that statement meant then, what it would mean now. This idea of like, yeah, it had to be now. And in a way, it's starting to feel a little bit like it had to be us.
Yeah.
And so
I'm going to say that with confidence.
Yeah.
Because nobody else has wanted to do the amount of work we've done.
So much so work.
I think that's a huge part
so,
of it.
So for someone out there listening, for a, you know, that you have a community of queer people in magic, for you, that could be your call to action. Of, yeah. If not you, who? If not now, when? But that's just not us. Not right now. So thank you for these questions. We are keeping track of them and putting them into our data entry. Yep. And this will be a thing, but not yet.
So we have one more that we got over an email that because it's an email, I don't want to go all that much into it, but it's a very long email. It's a very long and very concise and very interesting email. But there was one question that I think we're going to answer this email in significant more detail at another time and maybe privately. But one of the questions that was asked in the email is
– by Brandon.
Hi, Brandon.
Brandon.
As somebody who writes a lot for strong female characters in a non-magic context, Brandon is seeing that he's getting asked to work on projects writing for strong female characters and yet feels a little bit of guilt being the one hired as opposed to a female writer.
Yeah, equally competent female writers.
Yeah.
And also, we're not going to out him or anything, but he has a lot of, like, financial obligations, and so there's a lot going on. And, you know, it's funny, what we were reading this email aloud. Kayla was reading the email aloud to me, and even the email is hilariously written. So we can tell Brandon is a competent writer.
Yeah, very.
Very competent.
Well, also, like, I have to first appreciate the fact that, Brandon, you consciously note that you are probably not the best person to always write on these projects, but you're the one getting the offer. And the question of should you take these offers or should you say no, try to find a strong female writer, here's what I'm going to say. This is my opinion. I don't think it's necessarily right. I'm not in your writing industry, but this is what I think is true. I think the only reason change exists is because the people who want the change have allies within the group to make the change. So the only way that any group of people have earned rights and who have gained equality in whatever their industry is or their life is, the only reason that's been successful is because they walk hand in hand with someone from the group that would be making that change. So if you are able to make change from the inside, then I think you should be okay doing that. A good example is Ellen Pompeo, who is on Grey's Anatomy, was on a panel with a couple of other women. And I don't even know why I know Ellen Pompeo's name, but I did not know the other women on the panel. I knew them from their work, but I don't know their actors. But I'm just terrible with actors' names. I've just been seeing a lot of Ellen Pompeo on this subject, I think. That's why also I watched a lot of Grey's Anatomy. Okay, anyway, so She says that one of her main issues with Hollywood is that she might be seeing more women, but she's not seeing women of color.
Ah.
And in order for any, like, Hollywood and for industries to change, is you need to start giving power to women of color. And one thing that she has done as an actor with the power she has is when she gets onto the set of whatever she's doing, if she doesn't see diversity, she'll leave.
Wow.
She is only able to enact that change because she's taken the work to get her to be able to have that power. And so I think from kind of just the outside perspective looking in on your industry, I think you have to be willing to take a job knowing that you can then be an advocate for the people who should be working there. So if you take a job writing for a strong female lead and you make that strong female lead really, really great, and you could do that, on your next job, you also say, great, I obviously you respect me as a writer. You know I can do these things. I also want to bring in a team of diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can enact change from the inside. That would be my only thought. It's like, I don't think there's any reason you shouldn't be taking the work as long as you also start to make a ripple in the pond.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I've started doing a thing when I get asked to work for conventions or certain shows where when the request comes in, one of the first things I ask is, who else is there? And mm-hmm. Just to hold people a little bit accountable, I'm going to take it because, you know, I do represent diversity within our particular industry.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a person of color, but I represent gender diversity, which is something that our industry is sorely lacking, hence the entire premise of this podcast. That did not need to be said, Carissa. And but I do enjoy just asking the question because I think as soon as I ask the question, people know what I'm asking. They know I'm asking, am I going to be the only chick? And if so, why? But just bringing it up and addressing it. And yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with you taking the work that you have been offered. But once you get into a position of power, definitely pulling up the people who are not quite as advantaged of you as you is your responsibility. And Kayla found the article.
Yeah, I want to quick backtrack because I wanted to make sure I give the proper credit. So Ellen Pompeo in this discussion was with Porter Magazine. And they, like, brought together a group of high-profile TV actresses, which, just say actor, whatever. This is a tangent I don't need to go on, about women in television. And the other women on this panel were Gabrielle Union. I knew her name. Gabrielle Union. Gina Rodriguez and Emma Roberts.
We're going to link to this article in the show notes.
But this video is great. I've watched it. She is great. Literally, somebody wrote Ellen Pompeo snapped. But it's true. It's a really great thing to hear her say because it's true. And I think you have to enact change from the inside. It's way easier.
So that is your call to action. If you are in a position of power, make sure to spread that power around. If you want to be a true advocate and help move this industry forward, it's not about turning down the gigs. It's about, you know, using your power wisely. Thank you so much for writing in all these questions. Is that all of them?
I think so, at least for now.
I mean, this episode is already an hour and 20 minutes.
It's time for a nap.
Yeah, I just got really tired.
Yeah.
It just all hit me. I was sleepy. Yeah.
I'm going to go watch Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
You want to go
eat cookies?
Eat some. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, only if cookies are involved. This is a running thing, is that Harrison makes us cookies during podcast days.
But we've recorded like every day for a week and there's always been cookies. Jeez. Also, we need to go buy ourselves merchandise.
Oh, yeah. I want to be wearing shirts. We really look forward to meeting you guys at some conventions this summer wearing some shirts. I think I'm going to say this and then we're going to do it, even though I haven't discussed it with Kayla in advance. We're going to post some of our touring schedule on the Shazam website. Because people are actively wondering where they can come find us and meet us in person and not hug us or not hug Kayla, but ask politely if you can hug me first. I just love that. That is one of my favorite things. And now you can get your swag signed.
I'm going to get a mug with it on.
Yeah. Kayla's, as soon as I posted it, Kayla was like, I need the Don't Touch Me mug. I need the Don't Touch Me.
I want it so much. I cannot wait.
I have this fantasy that there are going to be like 12 people at every major convention wearing Don't Touch Me shirts.
That will genuinely be the greatest day of my life.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So buyer swag. It's been, we don't make that much money on it. You know, we deliberately picked a place where the prices were really reasonable and the quality was really high.
It's also all going right back into the podcast.
Yeah. We don't get paid.
Yeah. No, we don't make money.
Yeah. We got sushi that one time.
We did. That's what we should do.
Get some sushi.
After cookies.
Cookies and sushi and Mrs. Maisel. Kayla, our life is really hard.
It's so hard.
I just want you guys to know what you are witnessing is a work-life balance. We're like, podcast done, cookies, sushi,
I'm and really upset.
Hanging out. You're really upset.
I gotta go kill some ants.
Thank you so much for joining us on this very special episode of Shazam. And remember,
there are t-shirts.
You should buy some t-shirts.
And mugs.
And iPhone covers and bags and blankets and...
Blankets?
There was blankets.
Oh my God. I want a blanket that says don't touch me. So I can wrap myself in it and it's like but everywhere.
We should get the small one. You could wear it as a cape.
Done.
Okay. Have a wonderful day, you guys.
Bye. Bye.
This podcast is funded in part through support from the Endowment and Development Fund of the International Brotherhood of Magicians. Thank you so much for helping us out, you guys. We really appreciate it.